Let's go to the Word of God, and I would like to direct your attention to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you always, for all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that all with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And here's where I would like to place the emphasis of my message tonight, verses 27 through 30. Paul writes to the church, to the Christians in Philippi, and he exhorts them, only let your conversation, your conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversities, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, believe on him, but also to suffer for his name, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand tonight from this letter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that you and I are to be consumed with one thing. You and I, as believers, are to be consumed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that has brought us together in sweet fellowship over these 2 years. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings hope, that brings life, that brings peace, that brings joy. And so Paul, writing from a Roman jail cell, is writing to his dear Christian brothers and sister in Christ, and he is desiring that they might rejoice in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to see from our text in verse number 27, two exhortations that I'm going to leave you with as we depart. Number one, church family, as you serve the Lord in future days, I want to exhort you to live out the gospel. Live out the gospel. Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He says only, emphasizing that this is the essential thing. This is the foundation. This is the main focus. And it is that you would live out the gospel on a daily basis. First, individually, and then second, collectively. In other words, Paul is saying, let your manner of life be consistent with the gospel. You profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You profess to be born again by the Spirit of God. And Paul is exhorting, live out your salvation with fear and trembling. We must understand what the gospel is. Now, some of you are confused and you say, well, I thought the gospel is a one-time event and one-time circumstance where God calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And if we read the epistles and we read the New Testament, we will see how many times that we are called as a body of believers to live in and walk in the truth of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? I have preached here for 2 years. Pastor has preached longer than that. And you know what the gospel is. It is a calling out of the world. The gospel is a calling out of darkness, out of the dominion of Satan, into the kingdom of God. And so Paul is exhorting the people of God in Philippi to behave as citizens worthy of the gospel. The gospel call is a call of holiness. Amen. It's a call of righteousness. It's a call of godliness and of purity. And church family, may I remind you of the words of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want to know and understand God intimately, personally, you must be obedient to walk in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter tells us to be as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts and ignorance. He calls us to be holy because God is holy. And so, church family, there's so much that I want to say, but I'm going to keep it, as I tell my wife, short, simple, and to the point. Live out the gospel. And Paul says here, whether I come and see you or else be absent, he desires to hear of their affairs. He desires to hear that they would live in a manner that is worthy of the calling of Christ, that they would live in the light of eternity, that they would live pleasing Christ and no one else. And so I exhort you to live out the gospel. Secondly, I want to exhort you tonight to labor for the gospel. Labor for the gospel. He says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Labor for the gospel faithfully. Stand fast. Quit you like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, "My beloved brethren, I beseech you, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Labor for the gospel faithfully. Be diligent to not only live out the gospel in your daily life, but to proclaim and labor the gospel with your lips on a daily basis. To your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your community members here in Bremerton, wherever you are, labor to preach the gospel faithfully. Do not be as the Galatians, who were bewitched and forsook the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Labor to protect the pure gospel. And if there's one thing I know about Westside Baptist Church, it is a church that labors to protect from the pulpit, from the teaching ministries, to protect the pure, simple, God-glorifying gospel of Jesus Christ. And you must continue to do so in the future. To guard against the false doctrines of easy believism. To guard against the false gospel of a gospel of works or a gospel that is man-centered and man-glorified. But that you would labor to protect the pure gospel in the days ahead, and that you would also labor to preach this pure gospel. And how it has been an honor to lead Saturday morning outreach with you. How it has been an honor to be with the School of Ministry, young men, to walk the streets of Seattle on Friday nights, and to preach the gospel to lost and dying souls. How it has been an honor to go out on outreach, to invite others to church on our summer fellowships of Church on the Lawn. So many opportunities that we've had together to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So may I exhort you tonight, labor to preach, protect, and strive faithfully in the gospel ministry. Then also labor for the gospel in unity. Do you see it there? It says, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. Three times there, he's placing the emphasis on striving to preach and protect the gospel as one man, in unity, as a body of believers in the church of Philippi. And so, church family, Westside Baptist Church, you too are called to labor for the gospel in unity. The Bible tells us how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity and go forward in this unity. Satan loves to divide. Satan would love to split this church in half and to cause great division. But God hates disunity. God abhors it. And so can I encourage you? Your eschatology may be different than somebody here. Maybe some particulars on soteriology and the doctrine of salvation might be different than here. But one of the beautiful things that makes Westside, Westside, is that we can come together as one man and for one purpose, and it is to glorify God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So continue with that spirit. Amen. Don't allow division to break this up. This is not about Casey's Kuhlman. This is not about Pastor Craig Houston. It's not about Peter Montoro. It's about Christ. Amen. And we lift up Him.
Amen. It's good.
Go forward in unity. The strength of the future of ministry will be in unity. Can I encourage you, church family, to be clothed in the Christ-like love of 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Be clothed with this charity in the days ahead. So you may disagree with your brother or sister in Christ. So you might have a little scuffle. Work it out.
Amen.
And move forward for the sake of the gospel. Don't stray from your purpose. Stay focused. And notice it says to strive together. To strive together for the faith of the gospel. It doesn't say it's to strive with one another. Strive together.
Amen.
Labor for the gospel as one. Then thirdly, not only are you to labor for the gospel faithfully, labor for the gospel in unity, but also labor for the gospel courageously.
Amen.
Be bold. Be courageous. Be bold as a lion. Be as young David who says, is there not a cause? Don't be cowards in the days to come. There's still a great work to do for the cause of Christ. The night is coming when no man can work, but we must work while it is day. So perhaps you've grown lax. You've grown weary. You've grown discouraged in the work of the Lord. Be faithful. Be faithful to the preaching ministry of this church. Listen, you've proved it this week by coming to each service that you can be faithful.
Amen.
We marked all your names down. You have no excuse. You were all here, well, I think most of you, Sunday night at the banquet. Now, we don't have the funds to do a banquet every Sunday unless Donald Trump gives us a love offering. But you can be there, can't you? Why? Because we're striving together for one purpose, and it's more than just chicken and steak. It's for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Souls are dying. They're perishing. We only have one life to live. We will give an account, and we must move forward for Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
This is His church. He is the body of the church, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So when we meet together, we come to meet with Him. We come to know Him. And so be faithful. And church family, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And there may be dark days ahead in our nation, in this state, in your community. You need to stand fast in the gospel courageously.
Amen.
And Paul says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. May God clothe you with a holy boldness, with a fervent zeal to stand fast no matter what storms may come your way. Churches are falling, compromising, giving up. But you stand fast.
Amen.
Plant your feet on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ever in His Word. Let the Word of God be a light unto your feet. Lean on Him and His understanding. And be like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Have this spirit Peter and John had in the future when you are threatened, when you are told that you cannot preach certain things from the pulpit, when you are told that you cannot witness at work, when you are told that you cannot witness maybe perhaps on the street corner, you pursue in the name of Christ, obeying God rather than man. Labor for the gospel courageously, and you will be blessed, and God will be with you, and there will be much fruit to your account. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, be consumed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be consumed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't get sidetracked. Stay focused. This has been my theme in all of my teaching and preaching. Serve Christ. Love Christ. Worship Christ. For He alone is worthy. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, who are we but weak and unworthy vessels? I pray that you would grant us supernatural strength and power from on high to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our daily life, and that we would walk in a manner that is worthy of you. Oh, Father, that we would also labor for the gospel, that we would labor for the gospel faithfully, that we would labor for the gospel in unity, and that we would labor for the gospel courageously. Thank you so much, Father, for this sweet, sweet church, these dear people. And they have meant so much to us. And I do look forward to the next time we will share sweet communion because of the gospel. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Oh, Lord, protect this church from the wiles of the devil. Place a holy fire in the hearts of the people who are here, that they would seek you and that they would find you, that they would seek to know you and the power of your resurrection, oh, Lord. Life is only a vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes away. Help us to do all that we can to live for you within this short vapor. Oh, Father, let your word be magnified and boldly declared in the future days of this church. Pray for the Houstons, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them with might the inward man, you'd use them greatly as they lead and shepherd the people here, and how they have been an example of a Christ-like love. True friends, Lord, thank you for all that you have done. And Father, I pray that you would be honored and that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.